With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, I'm Jody.
And I'm Allison.
And you're listening to the Bloom Saloon.
It's a Judy Bloom book club.
Judy Bloom book club indeed. Today we're reading Here's to You, Rachel Robinson, chapters 5 and 6. I got it wrong last week. I'm sorry, Bloomheads. I listened back after it was released and I was like, ooh, I said the wrong chapter.
Uh-oh. And I just let it go.
You did. No, I mean,
the safety net.
I need to be responsible for my own actions.
Yeah, but you know, we're a team.
We're a team. So, yeah, we're here to talk about the book. We're also here to read you some letters.
Do we have any updates? We've made a decision about the Margaret movie, watching it in San Francisco on April 28th.
That's what we're doing.
It's pretty exciting.
We've got some Bloomheads traveling to come hang with us, to come see the movie with us. We're going to go have dinner and drinks. Maybe we'll go to Cheesecake Factory at the top of Macy's. You know, they have a special Cheesecake Factory elevator.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've never been in it. You've been to that one?
Oh, yeah. I've been to that one a few times. I can't believe we don't have a Margaritaville in San Francisco, though. There is one in Santa Cruz.
Oh my God, are we going to Santa Cruz?
It's not that far.
Oh, you know, that's not a real Margaritaville.
Oh.
I passed it last summer when I went with my mom and I was like, Margaritaville. I think I even took a photo of it. It, like, the branding was all off. It was totally different. Yeah, you believe they were allowed to use that name?
It's right on the water in Capitola.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's the one. It's definitely not a real Margaritaville.
Well, maybe we'll have to go to Santa Cruz anyways.
But what I was going to say is we have Tonga Room.
We do have Tonga Room. I was at Tonga Room not too long ago, just a few weeks ago for work. And it still slaps.
Awesome. I haven't
Tonga
been since
Room
pre-COVID.
Is a great idea, actually. Maybe that's where we should go before Margaret.
I think so. The only problem with Tonga Room is that it's kind of loud and like talking is hard.
True. I went on a Thursday, and until the Island Jam Band started playing at 8 o'clock, it was pretty quiet.
Okay.
So you just got to time it around the Island Jam Band. But yeah.
That's right. When they come out into the middle of the lagoon.
Mm. Yeah, it's the best. We'll make a decision.
Yes, but we're so excited. We can't wait to hang out with you. And if you're thinking about it, if you're on the fence, if you're teetering, like, should I go? Should I not go? Is it going to be weird? You should come. It's going to be so much fun. Everyone is welcome. We're so excited to hang with, like, real life Bloomheads. Oh, I have something else I wanted to tell you.
What?
Did you get an envelope in the mail from the Nielsen Ratings Company?
Maybe. I haven't checked my mail for a while.
Okay. Well, we got it a couple of days ago, and in it was a crisp real dollar bill, which was showing through kind of like a clear window in the envelope. I thought it was fake, like Monopoly money, and it was real money. And then there's a survey that you can fill out, and you get $5 more. And I got so excited, and I was like, Tyler, does this mean we're a Nielsen family?
Yeah.
And there's just something so 80s, like nostalgic about being a Nielsen family. Remember like the Nielsen families? They'd always talk about these like Nielsen families. And you're like, how do I get to be one of those?
That is so exciting.
I think we're a Nielsen family.
I'm so excited for you. I also love a dollar in the mail.
I can't believe that's allowed.
Sears used to send $2 bills.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What did Sears, what was the, what was
the? I don't know why thing? Sears sent $2 bills. It was a very 90s thing. Sears $2 bill. Why? Why?
Yeah, now that you're in marketing, I feel like
I want to get back to sending people money in the mail.
Yeah.
And Nielsen's doing it right.
Anyway, so that's my news.
You're a Nielsen family. I'm so excited for you.
I'll let you know how it goes. I'm going to do the survey tonight.
I don't have anything exciting to report, except that after we recorded last week in Portland, it snowed the most it's snowed in like 80 years. Ugh. The second most recorded snow on record craziness. And it was very pretty.
I still can't believe it.
Yeah, Poe enjoyed it. It was for, I mean, snow is for the children. I don't know anything else, though. I think we got some great letters to read, and we should just get to it.
We should. Who's going to go first?
I'm going to go first because Dara wrote in more recently.
Okay, perfect.
Subject line. Nothing my love can't fix and other Joey Lawrence stories from the 90s. Hit me with them. I want the Joey Lawrence stories. Everyone knows that when I got my eyebrows tinted just the other day, I looked like Joey Lawrence. Mm-hmm. So, I want more. Hi, Jody and Allison. Just wanted to start off by saying how excited I am for you two to be reading. Here's to you, Rachel Robinson. Just as long as we're together and Rachel Robinson books were amongst my Judy faves growing up, and I love reliving every moment. On last week's episode, when you were reviewing Music from the Year, you mentioned Nothing My Love Can't Fix by Joey Lawrence, and I had so many hilarious memories of my older sister Julia's full-on obsession with Joey. She was 4 years older than me, so she was around 13 or 14 at the peak of Joey's popularity. Her room was plastered with posters of him, and she even dressed like him. Oh yeah, the tied-up plaid shirt around her waist. Joey Lawrence actually came to our town of Mississauga. Mississauga.
I think you got it right the first time. Mississauga. Mississauga.
Just outside of Toronto for a mall meetup. Oh my God, I love a mall meet and greet.
So Tiffany of him.
So Tiffany. And her sister waited and waited to meet him, but she was too far a line and he left before she got his autograph. So sad. That didn't stop her from telling all her friends at camp that summer that she had in fact met him, and she was even introduced at camp to the other kids as the girl who met Joey Lawrence. It was a classic. Like, oh yeah, yeah, I met them. They're famous. Yeah, I met them. As the younger sister, I had to like everything that she did. So for my birthday that year, I was lucky enough to get the Joey Lawrence doll. Whoa. In addition to the Blossom one as well, with the interchangeable hats. Oh. I bet Stephanie and Allison in the book would have loved Blossom in the show, but Rachel would have thought it too juvenile, as she would prefer something on PBS. True. A period piece. Love you ladies and the show so much, and can't wait to hear about all the excitement to come in the year of Judy. The Judasance, baby. Love and other indoor sports, Dara from Toronto. And there's a picture of the Joey doll attached with his pleather jacket and plaid cutoff vest. Oh my God, I love him. I didn't have him, but I did have a Ken doll that came with the Barbie RV that had a plaid button up and some face stubble. So similar vibes.
Nothing like the painted on face stubble on Ken.
Oh,
so weird.
Can't wait for the Barbie movie.
Okay, let's talk about this Joey doll. So he's got the full outfit, but then he's got like an alternate outfit with like a baseball jersey.
Mm-hmm.
What does it say?
It says,
make something
mix and match fashion fun.
Fashion fun. Uh-huh. And then he's got a microphone.
Because I love the handle on that mic.
Yeah. Yeah. The Barbie fits right around his little hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then another plaid shirt. And then,
oh my God, another one?
Yeah. And then, and it's Blossom and Six and Joey kind of in a photo on the bottom.
Imagine having them all.
Oh, I would love to have them all. I would have loved to have Six. Six was my favorite. I feel like, okay, Blossom is Stephanie. Mm-hmm. Six is Allison.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel isn't on Blossom. Rachel no, is...
Rachel's Mr. Feeny.
I was going to say Rachel is Jesse from Saved by the Bell, but Mr. Feeny is so much better.
She is Jesse, though. You're right.
Oh, my God. Yes. So I'm glad we have that sorted out. Dara, thank you so much for this letter. Wow.
I love it.
Okay, we've got another letter from a new Bloomhead, Alicia. Hi, Jody and Allison. I love the Bloom Saloon. I'm a newish fan and I'm bummed I haven't been listening since the beginning because I have so much catching up to do. I would say, Alicia, that's the beauty of coming to a podcast late. You can binge. Binge, baby, binge.
Oh, yeah. It's the value of not listening for years.
I was in a real podcast rut and then I found you. Now I tell everyone about your podcast, so I'm hoping we can have a Judy Bloom fan club in Philadelphia if there isn't one already.
Philly yes. Bloomheads, come out!
I have reread Margaret, Sally J, Tiger Eyes, and Super Fudge so many times I have them memorized. Ugh, we salute you. I was listening to the newest episode today and thinking about proms and dances in the 90s on the East Coast. Rachel and Steph and Allison are in Connecticut. Okay, I feel like such a bad Bloomhead that we didn't remember that. We did know that from Just As Long As We're Together, but we forgot that. Mm-hmm. We thought maybe she was in suburban New York. But you're right, it's Connecticut, Connecticut, Connecticut. Because they're rich girls.
Right, they're fancy.
And then Alicia says something interesting in the same county as the BSC. So, okay, I know Babysitter's Club was in Stony Brook, which is fictional. Palfrey's Pond is fictional. Like, how? What are we missing? How are they in the same county? Is there something that we should know that we don't know?
That's a great question.
Alicia, please tell us. Follow up. We need to know.
Maybe Judy said it in an interview somewhere or something.
Oh, maybe so. Maybe Anna Martin could have mentioned it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I love this parallel universe. There are a lot of things these girls have in common. I mean, Rachel and Christy Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
They'd either be best friends or they'd be arch enemies.
Yeah, like they're...
Love to see them.
Might spark, you know, too close of a flame. Mixing my metaphors.
I was thinking like magnets, you know, when magnets repel
yeah,
each other.
Exactly.
But I'm like, what is that? What's the phrase with that one?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so Alicia says, and I'm from New Jersey, so I'm pretty sure we had all the same trends and silly regional stuff. Sadly, I am from South Jersey, so not Judy territory, but Tara Lipinski is from my hometown. That's cool.
I love that.
I included two pictures from 1997 from the sophomore cotillion and the harvest moon dance. I was 100% inspired by 17 magazine and remember bringing a ripped out picture to the hairdresser to get my own do. My mom forgot to get film for her camera, so she only had a Polaroid, so I had to rely on other people's pictures for the before dance shots. My mom was never a Nell Robinson, but she didn't keep her film in the fridge.
Oh, I know. Remember that?
I remember that. Was it supposed to make it last longer?
Yeah.
Do you think you may ever do any Lois Lowry books? I would listen to you read the phone book, but I think you would really have a good time with Anastasia Krupnik or Natalie from Find a Stranger, Say Goodbye. Thank you both for all that you do, Alicia. Okay, first let's look at these photos, then we'll talk about Lois Lowry.
Yeah. Okay, the first one. Can we talk about the wallpaper?
Yes, that's the first thing I saw.
Mm-hmm. And the crushed velvet pillow and on the chair in the background. Yeah,
that's the chair's velvet.
Yeah, and she's wearing velvet, it looks like, too.
Yep, yep.
So lots of velvet. I love the velvets.
I love her corsage.
Love that side eye.
From like, the guy.
Are you taking the picture? He's like, where do I look? What do I do?
Ugh, this picture says so much. It's so cute. It's so 1997.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. No notes.
Do we want to talk about the second one where I thought she had Mickey Mouse ears, but those are balloons?
Definitely looks like Mickey Mouse ears, but they're balloons. I love this dress. It's kind of a corset situation.
Mm-hmm.
I love the wrist corsage. I love the broken hand on the guy on her right.
Didn't even notice that.
Yeah, love a boy in a cast with definitely his dad's tie.
Oh yeah, that's a businessman's tie.
It's like a Tetris tie. I love the boy on her left.
He looks like a small child.
Like a pissed off child.
And the bangs.
Mm-hmm. Definitely like really good 90s bangs.
But the angle.
Yeah, I love this photo.
It's almost like he was wearing a toupee and it just got tilted to the side a little bit.
I love the exit sign behind them, really like taking you out of the moment.
Yeah, yeah. And then Lois Lowry, definitely we need to cover one of her books. We just haven't gotten around to any of them yet.
So Judy adjacent.
I haven't read any of the Anastasia Krupniks. Have you?
I think that I may have. Yes.
Thank you so much, Alicia. Amazing. We love letters. bloomsaloon@gmail.com.
You know where to find us. We've got Rachel Robinson and her family. Bear with me. There's a lot of family people this episode. We've got her brother, Charles, just returned from his kind of like prison school in Vermont. We've got Jessica, her older sister, who was at prom and sparked a lot of that conversation. Her parents, mom, about to be a judge, Nell. And Victor, her dad, who's a teacher. There's Victor's father, who's mentioned, Grandpa Robinson. There's Graham, who is Nell's mom, and her name is Kate Carter Babcock. Great name. There's cousin Taryn on the mom's side and her baby Roddy. Remember we met them. They helped out when the parents went to get Charles out of school. We've got Rachel's best friends. Old time best friend, Stephanie. New time best friend, Allison. There's Aunt Joan in New Hampshire. Didn't want to forget her. She's mentioned again. That's who Charles has stayed with in the past during tough times. There's Rachel's cats, Bert and Harry. There's Max Wilson, the boy that she kissed. And there's Dr. Claff, who is Rachel's kind of regular doctor. That's what I got.
Yeah, Dr. Claff. Remember the Claff twins? Peter and was it like Kara or Carla?
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, your memory is so good.
Yeah, well, you know, Peter Claff was Stephanie's love interest.
Mm-hmm. Never forget.
He gave her apple shampoo. And his dad's the doctor.
Dad's Rachel's doc. And gets everyone's doctor.
Yeah, awkward, right?
So awkward. Chapter 5. Rachel returns home. Remember, she's going to give an update to Allison and Steph about what it's like having Charles home. And when she gets there, the front door's wide open. She calls to her parents, mom, dad. But instead, she walks into her room and it's her worst nightmare. Charles is there and he's reading her biography. And for a moment, for just a brief moment, she sees Charles the way Stephanie sees him. As a boy with dark hair, dreamy hazel eyes, and a scar on his forehead. The scar makes him look interesting, not just handsome. And suddenly she hears her Grandpa Robinson's voice in her head. Quote, "Too bad the boy got all the looks in your family, Victor."
Ugh.
She was very hurt when she heard that.
That's so rude.
Even though she was only 8. Charles begins to read aloud from Rachel's biography.
Rachel is credited with having discovered the vaccine now widely used to prevent hairballs in lions.
Can I do a tiny special report right here?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry I just sprung this on you, but I forgot that I had looked up hairballs in lions.
Please.
Turns out they can definitely get hairballs. There is a very famous hairball that was removed from the stomach of Arthur, an 11-year-old 450-pound lion in Colorado at an animal sanctuary. And he was known to have a very luxurious, big, fluffy mane. And I guess his mane was just so luxurious that whenever he groomed himself, he just collected almost 4 pounds worth of hair in his stomach.
Too fluffy and beautiful.
And it made him sick, and it was in there for years and years and years. Oh. So they surgically removed it, and there's a photo. We'll post it. It looks like a loaf of bread. It's just this like solid mass of hair. And then he felt better after. And so that is the famous case of Arthur the lion with the 4-pound hairball, which actually is pretty rare. Most lions don't get hairballs. But once you see Arthur's mane, you'll understand why.
I bet Rachel knew about it.
Yeah. Well, this happened in 2015, so.
Oh. Well, she'd heard things. Yeah.
She knew.
Rachel screams, "Put that down!" Her heart's pounding. "Hairballs and lions?" "He doesn't know, Jody. It's no laughing matter. I said put that down!" And she thinks to herself, it sounds just like her mom's lawyer voice. And he keeps reading.
"Rachel, the later years."
She'd given herself some fictional jobs. A veterinarian doing research on large cats in Africa. Then a musician with the New York Philharmonic. And finally, as a stage actress specializing in Shakespeare. She also had a husband and 2 children.
"Her son, Toledo. You named your son for a town in Ohio?"
My first thought, I was like, what?
I mean, same.
Who's naming children Toledo? She says, "Spain, you idiot. Toledo, Spain." She's kicking. She's scratching. She's digging her nails into his arm. She's so mad. She's like never been so mad. He's about to rip the paper in half. But she can't let him do it because it's her only copy. She hadn't put it in her computer yet. She had written it all on LegalPad.
I remember that. I remember handwriting papers first, and then you type it up.
Totally.
Wow. And then the best part is she refers to it as entering it into her computer.
Yes, entering it. She's pissed. She's yelling. She's screaming. She's telling him he's dead. And he continues.
"At 13... Rachel Luella Robinson murdered her brother Charles. She spent the rest of her life in jail. All 84 years of it."
And she's like, no. It's not going to go that way. It's not going to go that way at all. They're going to find like reasonable cause for her to have killed her brother. She's like, well, why don't we just go ask mom, since she's going to be a judge anyways. And he didn't know that.
I was very impressed with her, like, changing the subject. She knew how to, like, redirect him, you know? Mm-hmm. That's what you do with animals and kids, I guess.
Totally. He's like, ah, yes, another milestone for our extraordinary family. Everyone's type A except Charles, right?
Mm-hmm. And what you said last week is ringing true. I mean, there's so much resentment here, and the acting out makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, she asks him when he's going to go back to school. And then she says, or were you actually kicked out? And he said, yes, Rachel, I was expelled. The expression is expelled. You can tell there's like a, it's like almost an air of like, oh, shit. Like, this is big and this is bad, so let's talk about other things so we don't actually talk about the thing. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So they talk about the color of Rachel's walls. They're peach. He says, peach. Well, maybe I'll switch rooms with you. This room's bigger. Bigger than mine, and I'm older, and I should get that. And she just, like, can't believe it. You know, he's just, like, taunting Rachel. Just trying to push all the buttons.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel knows this could never really happen, right? He says, besides, if I had to sleep in a room with peach walls, I'd puke. He leaves the room and she just lays down in her bed and cries.
Mm.
So they have a family dinner. They're basically having like a celebratory family dinner, even though Charles got expelled. They're just like trying to make light and like make it feel special.
All his favorite foods.
All his favorite foods, even though he got expelled.
I think mom and dad are kind of afraid of him, you know?
Totally. I think they're afraid of, like, if they actually punish him, he'll go so far the other way. Yeah.
Yeah.
It won't be good. He comes to dinner in an amazing t-shirt that says, I don't need your attitude. I have my own. I can just picture this perfectly, like a black t-shirt with like the white kind of.
Like flocked lettering.
Yeah, exactly.
Does this need to be added to the Bloom Saloon Depot
outfitters? Oh my God, I wear it always. Okay. Every day.
I want to see it as like a long sleeve tee.
That sounds really good. I really like the sound of that. My boyfriend, Jason, wore a lot of these kinds of t-shirts as a high schooler. Like funny little like slogans, you know?
Sassy attitude t-shirts. Uh-huh,
attitude slogans.
Where did he shop?
I think you get them at like Spencer's.
Yeah, I was going to say Spencer's. I mean, Hot Topic.
Mm-hmm.
There was the one, was it Hot Topic? They had all the like spoof brand shirts. There'd be like a Burger King logo, but it would say like Booger King or something.
Oh, totally. I was just thinking that too. Like there's like Lucky Charms, but it's like demented.
Yeah. Yeah, they're always like retro brands that were like a little bit punk rock.
Oh. I love that. Yeah, speaking of these favorite foods though, Dad made grilled chicken with mustard sauce, and Mom made Charles' favorite coleslaw, so full of vinegar that it almost choked Rachel.
That's my favorite kind of coleslaw. Oh,
sounds so good. So in the middle of dinner, they're enjoying themselves. Charles just goes, so I think I'll drop out for a while. Maybe get a job or something. Dad's like, no. Rachel's like, don't you have to be 16 to drop out? And your birthday's not until November. He calls her the child prodigy. He says, aha, the child prodigy speaks. She hates that.
Pushing those buttons.
Pushing the buttons. Mom says, it's just a matter of time. We just have to find the right school. Charles explodes. There's no right school for me. Don't you get it by now? I'm allergic to school. Jessica's got to excuse herself. She's got to get out of there. She's got to go to the photo mat, the 24-hour photo, and get her prom pics. Remember that? Like picking up photos.
Yes.
The excitement.
I'd always pay so much money for like 2-hour developing. Ugh, like
I want it as fast as possible.
So much money. Yes. And then you get doubles, and then you have to give them all to your friends.
Mm-hmm. Tape them in your locker, tape them on your mirror, tape them anywhere you could tape them.
I also have memories of anytime my, because my dad used to take a lot of photos. He always had a camera, and it would be like a family ritual of like, he would like unsheath them from the little folder thing you get. And then we'd have to pass them around in a circle, and you could only touch the edges, and we'd get yelled at if we got fingerprints on any of them.
Yep.
And then we would have to very carefully like put them back in the exact same order they came in. It was like very sacred, very mm-hmm. scary, because there were a lot of things you could do wrong and you didn't want the wrath of my dad.
Definitely can never touch the film that just like falls out of every pack like willy-nilly. Yeah. Like that film is just slipping and sliding all around.
Slipping and sliding. And like I always threw my film away, but I wish I had kept the film because, you know, like photos fade. I would love to get some of those redeveloped.
Oh, my mom has like just like a bag, just a big bag of all the photo, like little envelopes with the film and everything. Gotta go through it.
Oh yeah, you do.
And that's what they do. They do pass it around like that.
No, Nell is a no. She's like a touch the edges only kind of person too, just like my dad. So I relate.
They study the pictures, as they say. Jessica made sure to take out any photos where you could see her in mom's slinky black dress. Only the magenta frou-frou dress shall be seen. Mom says, "Oh, Jess, that shade of pink is perfect on you." And Rachel just goes, "Magenta."
She can't help herself.
Yeah, they're all like, And she says, "Well, it's more magenta than pink, isn't it?" Charles says, "Magenta. Glad to know you're keeping up with your Crayola colors, Rachel." She just, like, he makes her wish she could never talked, you know?
Yeah.
Mom and dad get a little, like, cutesy, gushy, you know? Mom saying, you know, "In my day, you had to be asked to go to prom." So it's kind of makes her feel like maybe she didn't go.
Yeah, I don't think she was very popular with the boys, as we'll learn in the next chapter.
Mm-hmm. And dad puts his arm around her. He says, "If they could see you now, those guys would be eating their hearts out." Mom just says, "Good." She says, "Mom isn't beautiful like Allison's mother, but she is very put together. She wears classic clothes and her hair is always perfect, whether it's loose or tied back. She says grooming is more important than looks." She says, "I hope that's true. When Mom was young, she was awkward, too tall like me, and had a serious case of acne like Jess." I love this. I would so much rather be put together than anything else in this world. I'm not a put together person. It's like not my thing. Uh-huh. I'm a very casual person, but the dream is to be put together. Same. Like, I would love to be described as just like, "Oh, she's put together."
I think she's so right. Like, the grooming, I mean, you can look hot. You don't have to be conventionally hot, but if you look put together mm-hmm. and you got style and you mm-hmm. got some good grooming going on, you're hot, you know?
Yeah.
That's the lesson we just all should have been taught when we were little girls.
Pull it together.
Yeah, my friend Emily said something in college. It's always stuck with me because it's like I've never heard anything truer. She's like, "I always think I look good, but then there's just like one thing that's not right."
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Totally.
Like looking back on photos, like, "Oh, that night I thought I looked so good. There's just like one thing, like, ooh, why did mm-hmm. I wear that shirt with that skirt?"
Yeah, like those shoes, like what a weird choice.
Why did I wear white eyeliner?
You know what?
What?
It always seems like a good idea. It always looks a little weird, though.
White eyeliner?
Yeah. In, like, theory, there's, like, a way you want it to look, but then I think there's the reality of it. And it's like, what do you do with your mascara?
You just do it, right?
Yeah. But, like, should it be white, too?
Oh. Then you would look like, what's that girl and that guy? They were like doing weird things like 15 years ago.
D'Antwoord.
Yeah. Yes. I'm so glad we can read each other's minds. You knew exactly where I was going.
That weird girl and that guy that were doing weird things a few years ago. You know, white eyelashes. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, they're like weirdos.
What happened to them?
I think they might have gone like a little weird, like white supremacist or something.
Oh man. Actually, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, there was something weird. I mean, I shouldn't just be out here calling people white supremacists without knowing the facts, but I think there was something really weird going on there.
Well, anyways, next week we'll do a follow-up on DeAntword and yeah, we'll set the record straight.
DeAntword, a special report.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyways, Charles just, you know, it was too nice of a moment. He has to turn. He's looking at the pictures. And he says to Jessica, do they still call you Pizza Face? Or is it mostly just the mess?
Mm.
She grabs the pictures out of his hand and she says, asshole, I wish you'd never been born. And I hope you get the worst it's ever. And I hope they swell and ooze and hurt so bad you go to bed crying every night. And he's like, oh, thanks, Jess. I appreciate that. Just like such a dick way to respond.
Yeah.
Mom runs after Jessica. Dad said, damn it, Charles, we're a family. Could we please try to act like one? And Charles says, and this is like the most kind of like, I don't know, there's something scary about this phrasing, something I didn't like one bit. He says, I'm trying. It's just that my sisters are so sensitive that they can't even take a joke. It's just very Trumpian.
Yeah.
Take a joke. I'm joking. I hate it.
And people got away with that shit so much back then, especially like girls being sensitive, you know, was just like such an excuse.
You know, girls, they're catty. They're sensitive. You know, girls.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. God. Well, I know we had a lot of empathy for Charles last episode. I'm losing it a little bit.
Yeah. I mean,
he's a terror.
I think there's a lot of reasons he's the way that he is. And when it goes unchecked like this, you know, it's hard. He's like almost like just too old.
Yeah, his parents definitely haven't really, I don't know. They haven't been consistent with the discipline, it seems like. That's mm-hmm. for sure.
But I get it. Discipline's really hard. I get it. So I feel for them. I feel for him. I feel for his sisters most of all because they're, I think, the most innocent of all. You know? Like, you can't choose the family you're born into. And, like, you can't choose how they treat you and how it kind of all goes.
There's going to be some trauma associated with that. They're going to have mm-hmm. some issues to sort out later in life, I bet.
Definitely.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Chapter 6. Rachel's in her room with her cats. It's the same night. Jess is in her room. She's crying. And then we learn here about the Robinson cystic acne curse.
Mm.
Jess has it pretty bad. Even antibiotics don't work. And Rachel's explaining this isn't just like zits. This is like the kind that's like under your skin. They're huge. They hurt. And I'm like, oh, I know. I've had those.
So painful.
And it's true. People do call her pizza face and just the mess. It's not very nice at all. But it sounds like she has risen above and she has friends. She's cool. She's confident. And she has a sense of humor. And Rachel says that she really admires her for that.
She's doing her best.
But this acne family stuff kind of is adorable in a way because that's how mom and dad met. When they were in college, they went to the same drugstore for the same acne medication and they just bonded over zits and they've been together ever since.
It's so cute.
Yeah. Oh, also, law students at Columbia.
Oh, no big deal.
So the Robinsons, they may have passed down the cystic acne gene, but they've also passed down the smart as fuck gene. So it makes me think, like, I know Rachel's the smart one, but I mean, Jess and Charles, you know, they've got to be very intelligent too.
Oh, I think so.
So we learn that mom never kissed a boy until she was 22.
Oh.
Because she had the cystic acne and she kind of hid behind it and as a result really buried herself in schoolwork, became a real scholar, and she thinks it kind of worked for her. I mean, look at her now. It's all paid off and she's almost a judge, so she's doing great. Rachel sleeps terribly that night and she tosses and turns and wakes up before the sun is even up at dawn. And she wakes up, you know, like sweaty and anxious, and she just has to get out of bed. I hate that feeling. And she makes her favorite comfort food, cream of wheat with some brown sugar and milk. Mm. And she lists her other favorite comfort foods, and they're all like mushy and white. It's like mashed potatoes, bananas. What else was there? Cooked cereal. What's your comfort food?
PBJ.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't think that anything tastes better than a PB&J.
What kind of bread?
Just like any bread, but like, I mean, the dream is just like white bread.
Yeah.
PB&J. Might have to have one after this. And potatoes of any kind sound great when I'm having a hard time.
Have you ever had the potatoes, the breakfast potatoes at Baker and Commons on College?
No.
Okay, Al. I never order potatoes when I go out to breakfast or brunch or whatever, just because they're never that great. You know, they're just kind of like fried potatoes. Great. But Liz ordered them and she made me try them and I've never had anything like them. So Baker and Commons date?
Yes.
For potatoes one of these days?
Yes. I'm in 100%.
I think about them every day. I think my comfort food is ice cream at the moment.
I get that too.
But I don't really have it in the freezer a lot. So it's like a special comfort food.
Yeah, if I have to keep it out of the house or eat it all.
Yeah. Microwave ramen. That's a good one for me.
Yeah. We do a lot of ramen in my house and it's always good.
Oh, Eggos too.
I was just going to say Eggos. Eggo is like, I don't know, there's nothing quite like a little too much butter on like a too hot Eggo.
Charles gets up and he's being super nice, which is also super creepy. I hate that. I hate the unpredictable personality type, you know, like they're being nice, but you know,
you're
that
just
like
on eggshells.
Yes, it really made me tense reading this. And he's like, good morning, little sister. Did you get your beauty rest? Oh, I guess you didn't. Well, I'm going to make dear sweet mother breakfast in bed, and I'm going to be a secret amazing cook that no one ever knew I could cook, but look at me cook, and I'm making coffee cake. And he's just going on and he's like, ooh, Rachel's like, what?
Yeah, what is this?
Turns out it's Mother's Day, And Charles is actually making coffee cake. He's not all talk here. Somehow, maybe he learned this at boarding school.
Yeah, I feel like it's like a secret boarding school hobby is like baking.
Cookery. And then I'm like, ooh, what's better, the coffee cake or the subscription to Metropolitan Home? That's what Jess and Rachel got mom. I think coffee cake, to be honest.
Yeah, coffee cake in bed with coffee and like orange. Oh my God, I can't imagine anything better.
I don't know if I'll ever have that in my life.
I don't know. Maybe the new pup is a baker.
Right? He's been taking cookery. So the ulterior motive, though, for this Metropolitan Home subscription from Rachel kills me because Rachel notes they really want mom to redo their living room. It's kind of outdated and they're hoping this will be like a good peer pressure thing to get it done.
The ulterior motives.
So Rachel's sitting there reading the paper, ignoring Charles while he makes his coffee cake. But she notices like the effort he's putting in. He not only makes this cake, but he makes coffee. He pours a pitcher of OJ. He places the coffee cake and a flower on a tray and then like swipes the paper from Rachel and brings it all upstairs. And he says, "Impressed." And then he swoops upstairs while Jess comes down and she's in a seaweed face mask. Rachel asks, "What are you doing up so early?"
"Couldn't sleep. Just met our nightmare on the stairs."
"He was bringing mom breakfast in bed in honor of Mother's Day."
"Oh, God. He's such a hypocrite."
"Suppose they don't find another school for him. What do you think will happen? I mean, he won't finish ninth grade at Fox, will he?"
"Mom and Dad are smart. They'll figure out something."
"But I've got to know."
"There's no way you can know, Rachel. And worrying about it isn't going to help."
"Does that mean you think he's going to stay here?"
"It's his home, isn't it? Mom and Dad are his parents, aren't they? They can't just give him away."
"Maybe they could send him to live with someone else?"
"Like who?"
"I don't know, Aunt Joan. She took him when he was suspended."
"That was for a week. Don't get your hopes up."
And mom comes down and she's beaming about this fabulous coffee cake. "Oh, you have to try it. It's so light and fluffy. Oh, Jessica, please close the refrigerator. Everything will spoil." Charles says, "Maybe I'll get a job as a baker."
"That would be a wonderful summer experience for you if you don't have to go to summer school."
"I wasn't talking about a summer job."
"We've already been through that. Let's not spoil your day."
"Oh, right. Today is Mother's Day, a family holiday. I hope my sisters remember that." "Excuse me, I'll be in my room practicing." "Practicing?" "The flute." "Oh, the flute. I thought you had something more exciting in mind."
"Grow up, Charles."
I'm trying.
"Maybe you need to try harder."
"Push, push, push. That's our family motto."
"Please be ready by 11, girls. We're going to see your gram then."
Yay. So we go to the nursing home to see Graham, and this is all so sad. I didn't remember how sad this was.
So sad. Devastating.
Graham is Kate Carter Babcock, and she's only 76. She's mom's mom, but she had a stroke last year, and she just can't talk now. Therapy didn't help her, and I guess her mobility is messed up too because she's in a wheelchair. And they aren't really sure if she registers them. It's just not clear what her cognitive functioning is right now. So they go visit her for Mother's Day and mom brings a corsage and they all say happy Mother's Day. And they have no idea if she even knows who they are or what they're saying. It's so sad because she's young. Then Charles decides to steal the show. He gets close and says, "Hey, Graham, remember me? Your one and only grandson. So, how's it going?" And then she looks at him, like slowly turning her head. And then her eyes get big and focus on him. And Rachel's like, does she see him? I can just picture it, right? You know, like her pupils get big and then she has this like flash of recognition.
It's like Coco.
Remember me. I don't know Coco.
You ever saw that Coco?
No, what's Coco?
It's a good Pixar movie. Oh, but yeah, the grandma has like dementia. And then the very end of the movie, it's really kind of cheap. The very end of the movie, you know, she all of a sudden remembers the song that her father wrote for her when she was very little. Remember me. And everyone cries. Everyone will cry no matter what happened in the rest of the movie. It's like the saddest thing. That's why I call it cheap, because I don't feel like they... I don't think it's really like paying off anything in the rest of the movie. It's just like, you know what? We're going to write this whole movie and then we're going to pay, you know, like finish it with this really horribly sad moment.
Oh my God. I can't keep it together when it comes to like dementia.
There's nothing worse. It's just the saddest thing in the whole world. But yeah, she has this moment. She recognizes something in him.
Yeah. And then they take her out in the wheelchair around the gardens. And this sounds like a pretty fancy nursing home. So the gardens are actually nice. We learn what happened with Dad. Rachel thinks about this moment with Dad when his dad died 4 years ago. So Rachel had been in fourth grade. And it's never said, but it sounds like Dad went into a really deep depression. He didn't leave the bed for 6 weeks. That is a really long time to be in bed.
Mm-hmm.
And Rachel was so worried about him. She's only in fourth grade. She thought he was gonna die, and it sounds like no one explained to her what was going on with him. I'm sure mom didn't. I'm sure he couldn't talk about it. They just took her to see Dr. Claff, and all Dr. Claff said was that Rachel needs to learn how to relax. Like, imagine telling a fourth grader that you just needed to relax and then like doing nothing to help her.
They're so mean to us. It's like, you're stressed, girl. Just take a break. Take a bubble bath.
Just stop
worrying. Put on a face mask.
Just stop worrying. I was told that so much. And it's just like, how? You need to learn how to stop worrying.
I get that at work often. It's like, I get like, oh, it's like you do such a good job at your job, but then like you're so stressed. And it's like, how do you think I do a good job at my job?
Right.
I'm stressed.
Well, the good news is that eventually Dad got out of bed one day. Just like one day he decided he's going to change his life. He's going to quit lawyering. He's going to start teaching. So he just went out and got an education degree, and now he's teaching history at the high school.
It's a very familiar trajectory.
Uh-huh. I thought about that too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
No one ever talks about it in this family. That was like a period that's very hush-hush.
Mm-hmm.
So Rachel's still kind
of Daddy's
like,
little depression.
Yeah. Daddy's moment. They probably don't even say depression. They say like,
no.
Daddy's phase.
Yeah. Remember when Daddy was like saddy?
Saddy daddy.
Mm-hmm. But let's not talk about that anymore. Daddy's fine now.
Back to the nursing home. Graham is listening to Charles on this walk and he's rambling on and on with such bullshit. He's just telling her he's going to be the class president at Dorrance. He's on the varsity track team. That's how it is with us. We always have to be the best. But I guess you know that, Graham. I mean, you're the one who raised mom, right?
Oof.
That's so scary. I don't like that.
No. There's some like a narcissism.
I don't want to. I know I'm not supposed to diagnose, but like,
there's a little pathological.
Yeah. So, mom tells him to stop. She's like, oh, stop it. But Graham is just in awe. She's mesmerized, Rachel says. She's taking it all in and she can't stop staring at Charles. And the whole time, like, she's just like alive. When they're done with their walk, Rachel catches Charles in this like fleeting moment and he's got tears in his eyes. and he walks off by himself. So then we're like, okay, Charles is a human. He's got feelings.
Yeah.
Does he regret what he just did? Does maybe he remember Graham in happier times? And, you know, he's really like, maybe he thinks he's like doing good, right? Like making mm-hmm. her happy with his lies. Who knows? And then Graham makes a noise like maybe she's trying to call Charles back. But then this nurse just pops in and she's so patronizing. She's like, getting ready for our dinner, aren't we? Sing song voice, you know. Mom hates this bullshit. She wants to tell the nurse to like fuck off, you know, treat my mom like a real human. She doesn't need to be treated like a kindergartner.
Pandered to.
But dad's like, shh, no, this is the best nursing home around. You don't want the director to kick Graham out, do you? Like, that would be two expulsions in a week.
Oh, my gosh.
No, no, no. The Robinsons cannot have that.
Not from the fanciest places money can buy.
No way. Rachel says Mom backed off and headed for the car. The rest of us followed. Charles walked behind me, deliberately stepping on the backs of my shoes, pulling them off my feet. Ugh. I thought about sticking out my foot and tripping him, but I didn't feel like making a scene. So I moved away and walked closer to Mom. She put her arm around my shoulders and said, "Don't be sad, honey. Graham's had a long life, and she's not suffering. We should all be grateful for that." Which I thought was a very interesting quote, right? Because mm-hmm. I don't get the sense that Rachel's like upset about Graham necessarily. She just takes it for what it is. She's more kind of preoccupied with Charles and how mm-hmm. fucked up he is. So it's like Mom's probably saying this to make herself feel better, you know, she's projecting. But then like, what's going on with Charles here? I just really like going from like this bravado to like crying and then to like tripping up Rachel. Like that's the worst, like stepping on the back of someone's shoes.
Definitely.
Love bad teens. Okay. Yes. Bloomheads, write us more letters. We were so excited to get some more letters in our inbox, bloomsaloon@gmail.com. Get in our Facebook group if you want to come to Margaret with us on the 28th. We're making plans.
Making plans, baby.
Cheesecake Factory. Or Tonga Room.
Cheesecake Factory sounds great.
Kind of does. We could do both. Cheesecake. Drinks at Tonga, food at Cheesecake.
Yeah, you know what? Let's do it upright.
We're doing it right. Okay, friends, we'll see you next week.
See you.
Bye.
Bye.